are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Oui.
Hello, one and all, and welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast, where heavy metal is the law and court is always in session. I'm your host, Dual Guest, and today we have four brand new reviews for you, our dear listener. We have reviews for Bats from Gamma Bomb, For Ordained from Phobocasm, Mutilation Case from Hungary, as well as The Rhyme of Memory from Panopticon. Four albums, four distinct genres, only one Fundamentalist Podcast. Thank you so much for joining in. Richard, how the hell are you?
Doing all right, sir. Enjoying my one day off. I'm back at it.
The capitalist hellscape is real, sir. Slaunch to you.
I guess. That's what booze is made for, to be a little more tolerable.
That's true. That's very much true. Also, that's why heavy metal was made, sir. Working class music for working class folks. Tell us.
Damn right.
What heavy metal music have you been listening to, aside from your podcastly duties?
Of course. I'm going to bounce around a bit. I listened to the album that made my top 10 last year. I've been listening to, one of the records I've been listening to is an album that made my top 10 records of last year. That would be Ares Kingdoms In Darkness At Last. Never been heard a lot about it. I finally got to see them live. Last November, they were great. Got to see them again at Metal's year. Got to meet them. All the band members get to sign all the records and everything. But this record's great. If you like black metal, death metal, thrash metal, it's still being catchy and engaging. You like 80s metal, like it's a little bit of everything. And it's just, it's a solid, I'd say roughly 40 minutes, but it just keeps you fucking engaged. And especially the vocals, like there's a lot of growling and anger metal, but this, you just feel like the oomph from the growls that, Alex Bloom does on the record here while playing bass. You know, just charisma and being discernible and whatnot. It's really cool. It's still one of my favorite records of last year that I cannot recommend enough. As well as I went back and listened to an album that I was so hot on at the time. We reviewed back in, I believe it was 2020, Lantern with album Dimensions. I kind of went back to their discography and went back to all three and, the vocals still are not the best. I'm not quite metalcore, as Pete says, but they definitely feel that it's their best sounding record. And the first was a bit more on the raw side. The first was, I say, a little more experimental, being raw, where the second record, Two Morphosis, a little more thrashy, black and straightforward. And Dimension was kind of the best of both worlds. Even the final track, Monolithic, Abysmal Dimensions. It's like about a 15-minute long song. I'd say for the most part, it justifies its length. Maybe the last five, a little indulgent. But it holds up better than I remember. And I definitely have a more positive view on that. And finally, another album that I was jamming is Soylent Green, who actually are reuniting for Milwaukee Metal Fest this year, which I will not be attending.
With Falgu?
There's a bluesy, grindy death metal thing before he was in Goat War. But I was listening to their album, A Deleted Symphony for the Beat Now. And everyone and their mother talks about the prior record, Soma of Secrets. It is a great record. I should know that record. But I was something about Deleted Symphony. I've always a little more, I'm not sure if the grit or maybe a little more grimy. But I've always loved this record. The opening track, Hands Me Down, Swallow Hole, Addict's Lovers. It's just really great shit. And I would love for the, sure they're not going to reunite now that Crowbar's active, I Hate God's active, Goat War's active. So, but I'd love to catch them again because unfortunately I only got to catch them once opening for Chimera and Death Clock all the way back in 2008 at Worcester Palladium. Talk about a weird time for metal.
Soylent Green, Chimera, and Death Clock?
Yes.
The
Palladium.
Weird.
It was a very good show. But yeah, I'd love to see that band again. So especially now that I'm more well versed their discography, which probably won't, but
that's so fucking weird. It reminds me of that show at the Hangar 13 of Cannibal Corpse, Hatebreed, and Crowbar, and I think Born of Osiris all together. It's like, what the fuck? Who the fuck put this together?
I think I didn't go to the show, but there was the flyout. What the, even as a young metal addict, what the shit? I mean, they're hitting summer markets, which I do like. So
I mean, it felt like they all had different tours, and like, okay, let's just all fucking, we're going to grab the headliner off each fucking tour and just make one super bill here in New Orleans, but one that would never happen in New Orleans. So obviously, like, someone was smoking crack.
Actually, you know, one more, two more I'll throw it. Actually, I went back and listened to old Opeth, Opeth Still Alive, and Barham's Your Hearse. I listened to records in years. I threw those on. I have to say, they both still really hold up. Barham's Your Hearse, probably the darkest, probably heaviest Opeth record overall. And Still Alive, I, in my opinion, at least, edges out Blackwater Park like a smidge or two, like a smidge barely. But The Moors, Serenity Pain of Death, dude, phenomenal record. I remember reading about the record. Mikhail and Jonas from Katatonia lived together, and they were just like chain smoke all day and like write music and shit. And because Mikhail can't write, doesn't say music theory, it'd be like, you know, like acoustic part, Morbid Angel riff, you know, acoustic part, that type of shit. But great stuff. Classic Opeth still fucking rules.
Nice.
At the, so, little rant, apologies. Oh, shop duel, but even jamming as of recently.
Oh man, I went down the power metal rabbit hole, but none of the usual suspects that you might think of. So I started listening. I discovered this band, Megaton Sword. They put out a new record this year called Might and Power. Surprise!
The first EP is great.
Yeah, I need to go back and listen to it. This is the first thing I really discovered from them. This record fucking rules.
It's an awesome album.
Tracks Iron Plains, Power, and Cowards Remain are just earworms. They'll stick with you for a long time because they're still stuck with me. And this album, it has not left my rotation. I am a little bit in love, to be honest with you. And I actually cannot wait to see or listen to more diving back into their discography. I also found this band called Possessed Steel. They put out a record called Adris in 2020. Very, very pretty, clean male vocals here talking about kings and possessed swords and wizards and shit.
The Witcher?
It's really pretty. It's really nice. Tracks like Spellblade, Frost Lich, and Assault on the Twilight Keep are really a highlight and just highlights the total escapism that is power metal. And I kind of love it. If black metal is a little too intense for your escapism, then consider bands like Possessed Steel to be your,
check it out,
your go-to. Also found this band from, I think they're from Sacramento, California. They're called Night and Gallo. They put out a album in 2022 called For Honor and Bloodshed. They've got like 300 monthly listeners on Spotify. They're like
ultra necro cult.
Yeah, basically like slightly local band energy in their pictures, but that's totally okay. They've got songs about Tolkien and Lord of the Rings and the Middle Earth, Legendarium, the Crusades, Berserk, anything else.
They have a variety of lyrical inspiration.
Yes. And then they have this one track called Blood of Wolves and Be Still My Beating Heart. It's the most power metal, metalcore, sing song. Dare I say even like pop punky. Like this is like a bass. Like if you were in a basement show, but seeing a power metal band instead of a hardcore band, it would be Night and Gallo playing. I've sent this track to the thread. I'll send it again. You should really check it out. Some of it is a little too cheesy. Like they could use some refining, but it is that cheese, that sincerity that really sells this band for me. Night and Gallo, check it out. The track Blood of Wolves, everything you want in like heartfelt heavy metal. It's totally what you want.
I am down. I'll definitely check this out. Hell yeah.
Also, a new record came out this year from Gatekeeper. They have this
check the fucking record out.
Yeah, from Western Shores. They've got some great shit on here. Tracks like Death on Black Wings, Exiled King, and Desert Winds really drew me in. A little long, but, you know, it is power metal. It does kind of get that way sometimes. They can't all be like this next band, which I think is my new favorite power metal band of all time. Mm-hmm. The Champion, if you will. The Eternal Champion.
Oh,
The armor, the albums, The Armor of Ire and their magnum opus from 2020, Ravening Iron, has been seared into my brain. I think I've listened to Ravening Iron, no shit, about 20 times from start to finish. Every track on there is a banger, starting with A Face in the Glare, which is an anthemic mid-tempo power metal track. Ravening Iron, Skull Seeker, Coward's Keep. I dare you to listen to Coward's Keep and not be singing that song for the rest of the day. Worms of the Earth, just incredible. And then The Armor of Ire, their track from 2016, has the anthem, I Am the Hammer. If you know, you know. Also big fan of The Cold Sword and Last King of Pictum and The Armor of Ire and The Invoker. Oh my God, I've basically listed almost every track on both those records for damn good reason. Eternal Champion is the Eternal Champion. This band fucks.
I've heard a song or two, but there have been, I believe back to Twitch when I heard the Champion of Iron, I guess at the time, I think it was a death, Thousand Years of Death, Doom, Funeral Doom vibe. So I was like, vibe with it. I didn't go back to it. But if you watch, I've mentioned several times here, Visigoth. Their first record, The Revenant King, there's a video on Metal Blade Records. And my boy Paul is actually the video. He plays like evil wizard. And there's the king who lyrically about is trying to get his crown. And that is the vocalist of Eternal Champion in the fucking video. So
if you've not done it, I'll post it in the thread as well. Ravening Iron, sir, that album is a godsend from 2020. I can't believe I just discovered it now, but I'm okay with
great,
it.
Man.
Eternal Champion is one of my new favorite. One of my new favorite bands, like forever now.
Fuck yeah!
Flying fuck the power metal flag high, planted. And I don't even think I don't even think they're like the long hair and oily pecs power metal. I think they're just like genuine, like basement dwelling dorks who play D&D power metal.
No, they're the vocalist wears like chainmail, like the hat, and they have an actual sword on stage.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Pure D&D, Band of War, like literally all that shit.
Raise the banners. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. That's what I've been listening to. That's what I've been listening to. Let's go ahead and get into the main point of this episode, and that is our reviews. Let's start off with the one that you suggested, Racer, and that is Foreordained, the latest release from Phobocosm. Phobocosm comes to us from Montreal, Quebec. They've been around since 2008, and they are signed to Dark Descent Records. I lovingly have described this band as atmospheric death metal. They've got really saturated... saturated, cavernous, if you will, death metal vocals. And that's really where my superlatives end. Not that I hate this record, but Richard, you definitely like it more than I did. So I'll let you continue from here.
Yes, I've been a big fan of this band since their 2016 record, Bringer of Drought. I very much like that. It was four songs, about 45 minutes. And this is their first record since that album. And this year I've been disappointed two times by bands I'm a big fan of, Gotham and Primordial. Sorry. But this is a band that kind of apes that trend where I would say with this record, it's a little more, it's very dense. It's a dense fucking album. In a way, it reminds me of Gorguts' comeback record, Colored Sands.
Dense is a good word. Dense is a good word.
It's very fucking dense. And this album, I would say I like it as a whole, but Bringer of Drought was a little catchier, even with kind of the same style. But still, it's a record I feel that lists from start to finish. You can't really pick a song or two and, like that's a single, that's the banger. It, to me, it's like a whole, you say, almost like a soundtrack. It's the same, like, unearthly post-apocalyptic vibes to it. And I actually had the opportunity on the 18th of November to see them play in Providence, Rhode Island. My first time there, be living here for 3 years now. And I got all the shit signed by the band. The guys were really cool. And they played pretty much most of this record minus one song. So I essentially got to hear this record before it, buy it, got autographed and whatnot. And as dense as it is live, it's fucking great. I can say that. So I am very biased, but I do enjoy this record a lot. The two tracks, if I had to pick two that kind of really stood out, would be the the first real track, Primal Dread, 10 minutes, 11 seconds long, is fucking fantastic. And the track Everlasting Void, which they released probably 2 years ago with a split vinyl with a great cover of Immolation's Here and After, which I was able to physical copy at the show, which I was very excited about. But if you're in the dense, cavernous, with a bit of melody, a little bit of emotion, I would highly recommend this record. But if not, I would seek your death metal elsewhere. Any more thoughts on this record, Duel?
So I think it's a little long. Like you said, there's no real like one standout track and one standout banger. Like it's six tracks and it's a little over 40 minutes. So like
41 minutes and 11 seconds.
Average is a little over 6 minutes. And that, I mean, some of that is stretched out because of the second track, Primal Dread, which is over 10.
I love this.
Like there's good variety going on here. Like it doesn't stick too much to like a mid-tempo drone or like too much fast tempo, like blast beat death metal. But coming back to what you said earlier about it being dense, it never really grabbed me. For a record that's got so much going on, I started to space out at times listening to it. Not to say it was boring, but it didn't have my full attention.
I understand where you come from. I kind of got the vibe as well. And that's what I saw about the 20-year-old Bring of Drought. It was four songs, about the same, maybe like 38 minutes, so roughly the same amount. But it was a little catchy, a little more variation, whereas this one's a little dense. So I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Like the vocals are a little too stereotypical for like death metal, like hipster death metal coming out of Denver these days. This deep, cavernous, saturated, like some creature from the Descent. I mean, I was going to say it reminds me a little bit of older Hooded Menace, but not as cool vocally. Yeah, like I know it sounds like I'm hating on this record. There's a lot of good things to like about it. Like there are some really cool parts, and I use that term atmospheric in a loving way. Like if you have atmospheric black metal, this is like atmospheric death metal, but it's a little too straightforward at times to get the atmospheric tag, and that's why I put the mosh in there, but nothing great. And I think that's the most accurate way I could sum up the record. I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5.
I can definitely see that review. I very much enjoy this record. And again, I'm a little biased because I've been a big fan for years. I got to see them about a month ago. I was front row at this bar with maybe 30 people. It's really the stage was 2 feet, like right into World's Day, like 2 feet. And there's a stage. I'm surprised the sound was very good, though. And this dense-ass shit, this room sounded fantastic. Front row just fucking drunkly head banging. But I'm going to give this record a 3.8. It's a valiant comeback record, and they're talking to them, and they're apparently playing in Boston around April next year, so I get to catch them again. They're around here, so I'm an hour away, so I'm very excited. But
I defended your honor on the Fundamentalist podcast, dudes.
I did.
Foreordained gets a 6.8 from us here on the podcast. Let's move on to let's go ahead and move on into the latest release from Gamma Bomb, and that is Bats. Gamma Bomb comes to us from Ireland. Northern Ireland, early in their career, Dublin, more so these days, currently signed to Prosthetic Records. Their lyrical content runs the gamut from pop culture, stupid humor, horror movies, and lampooning general society. And this latest release, Bats, is no exception. The album cover kind of is reminiscent of old school horror movies like The Birds, or even little hints of a Return of the Living Dead in there with the green tinge of the humans on the front cover, which makes sense considering the third track is called Living Dead in Beverly Hills. Now, when you hear this band, the humor, the tongue in cheek, the sarcasm is dripping.
It's thick. Like, yes, it's everywhere.
Like thrash metal, I feel like comes in like two flavors. You're either wearing leather pants, battle jackets with your leather pants tucked into like your Nikes or whatever, or you're these dudes wearing Hawaiian t-shirts and sandals on stage. This band takes nothing seriously except their craft and heavy metal and their lyrical content. There's a lot more going on here than meets the eye, especially when you start diving deeper into stuff like Secular Saw.
Good song.
Yeah, there's some great societal commentary here. There's some great lampooning of silly things that go on in society, whether it's the brain dead denizens of Living Dead and Brave Beverly Hills, or casting off the shackles of religion coming from a small town that you are treated to in secular Saw. But then you also have just the downright goofiness of tracks like Egyptron.
Like, go get your hair cut.
Yeah, yes. Like,
which
in the first 30 seconds of this record, like by the end of the intro, when they say, "I'm so funky," you're like, what the fuck am I about to listen to? And it's not a cut and dry thrash metal record. Maybe there is some great thrashing riffs, stuff that'll get the circle pit going like a motherfucker, but there's also some saxophone. There's some ripping leads. It's not just this extra cheesy thrash metal.
No, this is a piece of thrash, which was, I was expecting. And I don't know if it was a controversial take, whatever I'm fucking saying. Anyways, to me, this was honestly kind of more of a straight up, to me, this is more of a straight up traditional metal record with thrash elements. That, because I heard this man's pizza thrash, and to me, there weren't like this. I didn't honestly get the lyrically, it made the vibe, music not so much. To me, a heavy metal band, as a thrash gives you a sense of humor. That's what I took from it.
Just to give you a little taste lyrically, coming from the Living Dead in Beverly Hills. I'm living dead and loving that I'm killing for a living, for the mother loving, living for the thrill. I'm living dead in Beverly Hills. Private service for a superstar puppet show with a cadaver. Muscle Mary, hear my prayer, shed this flesh, but don't touch the hair.
Dream Stealer as well is a great song.
Yeah, like... on the surface, like I said, it just sounds like you're getting a really goofy piece of thrash band, but there's some brains here. There's some real wit. There's some snark. And not only that, but there's some great thrash metal riffage, which is the whole reason you want to listen to thrash metal in the first place. Circle pit riffs galore here. Maybe the vocalist style isn't going to be your thing, because
he's different. I'll give him that. That actually kind of took me back a bit, because I was expecting kind of traditional high vocals. He's kind of more brutish, kind of medium tempo. Then occasionally the high vocals come in at certain parts of songs.
Imagine like Joey Belladonna from Anthrax and Sleazy P. Martini from Gwar.
You know, that's an accurate description, actually, because he's kind of mid tempo. When it goes to highs, they're really impressive, but it doesn't do them all the time. It's like when it fits the song, he's not doing it every fucking song because he feels the obligation to do it, which I think is actually really unique, actually, for this kind of pizza thrash traditional metal newer bands do that style.
Gamma Bomb is many things, boring is not one of them. Funny as fuck and not what they seem on the surface. I'm gonna give Bats from Gamma Bomb a 3.5.
I will agree with you. It's a very fun record. That's some masterpiece or like thrash or traditional album of the year, a traditional metal album of the year, but it's a good time. And you know, it's 11 songs. Well, really 10, if you don't count the intro, it's 34 fucking minutes. So if you hate it, it's a 30 minutes. You're done.
Yeah. If you don't like it, it doesn't stick around long. And the stuff you do like, it really lends itself to multiple listens. Like I found myself going back and listening to Living Dead in Beverly Hills and Circular Saw quite often. They're still in my rotation right now.
Bats in your hair with that fucking saxophone at the end is fucking great. Yeah.
And saxophone here in this next record.
Again, we're about to talk a lot saxophone too. Come back.
It's a fucking invasion. It's a full-on invasion. Death metal, black metal, thrash metal, doesn't matter. Saxophone is here and being done well. Good on you, fucking multi-instrumentalists.
He's on the corner there like, told you, I was on this shit back in 09. I'm going, actually, when After came out.
Okay, so this next band that we are going to talk about is actually a listener sent in project. Can you fucking believe it? Mutilation Case comes to us from Hungary. So see ya to our new friends here in Mutilation Case.
Hello.
Reading from their press junket, the stinking crypt of the Dadaist death metal band Mutilation Case hides two corpses. Jim Jones, also of Purulent Rites and Psycho Do, was behind the microphone, and N was responsible for the instrumental parts, which include things like the saxophone. The album was released by My Throne Promotion, Defense Records, and Metal or Die. Their latest release, what they said to me was entitled Mutilation Case, just like the band. But if you go to Encyclopedia Metallum, it is 2023. So I'm not sure what the actual name of the record is, but I'm going to go with the press junket, which is where it's called Mutilation Case. Every single track is based off Hungarian serial killers. And this press junket actually goes into a little bit of detail with why each track is, you know, based off these people. So track number two, called Erdo, based on the true story of Lajos B. He was a regular house painter with an extraordinary IQ of 140. Born in 1966, he killed four young women in a Hungarian industrial city in the mid-1990s. He humiliated, tortured, raped, and completely eradicated their bodies. Next sentence. He was also a family man. Among his motives, they list sadism, dominance, sexual affection, and financial gain. The full package. Court sentenced him to life in prison, where he's still spending his time. Reason I mentioned Erdo, because I think it's one of the stronger tracks on this record, along with Bad Dog Zemfidel. I'm sorry, my Hungarian friends. I'm going to butcher some of these song titles. Also a big fan of track number seven, As Zion Member. But why am I a big fan of this? Well, two things. One, the production is really, really good on this record. I don't know if you noticed that, but especially when you usually get like a listener sent in content, it's kind of a mixed bag based on what you get production wise. But holy shit, this one really takes the cake. It sounds fantastic. The guitars are absolutely ripping. And the riffs here, dude, holy shit. Talk about some headbanging goodness, dude. Evocative of classic 90s era Cannibal Corpse at times, but also
Edge of Sandy, progressive, yeah. Very much, you know, even as progressive as Sorrel, as they ever really had saxophone, but that spirit is alive and well in this music, because dual to all about, it's like definitely with the saxophone, I've seen some like shtick prog type of thing that I heard, like, no, these are legit riffs, legit progressive with the saxophone. Mired more included with it, and it just flows seamlessly. It's not like some weird tack ooh with progressive color. Look at her saxophones. No, this is it works.
It does. It
flows extremely well. It's like shockingly so.
Like the sax is like really moody. It really fits the death metal. It's not like as you said, we're gonna prove how fucking smart and avant garde we are now by totally changing the vibe. No, it's adding to the miasma of the song. Like in track four, Bad Dog Zemfidel, Jesus Christ, totally took me off guard with the quality of the record as a whole. First of all, sorry guys for having such low expectations for you at first, but the way this stuff is just blended in, you start to think, okay, death metal record based on serial killers. What other original ideas do you have? Well, let me tell you, guy, they've got fucking plenty of them, and they're all firmly based in kick-ass death metal. Have nothing but positive things to say about this record. Maybe you could say it's a little one-note lyrically. Okay, they killed people. Well, it's called death metal, sir, so you got exactly what you thought you'd get. Pure face-stomping death metal that has more brains than it might show on the surface. Really great blending of instrumentation that you might not have expected from a death metal record. And then all the traditional elements of death metal that you would want to hear. Face melting riffs and gnarly ass vocals. They're all here. I'm going to give Mutilation Case a 4 out of 5.
Yes, to basically co-opt everything my co-host Jules said. Yeah, this shit's great. It's brutal. It's progressive. Avant-garde. It flows. It's not try to do some unique hipster thing to sound cool and different from the rest of the pack, but it flows naturally. It's fantastic. I'm going to give it a 4.2. And this is just a band camp. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear more from Mutilation Case. Kosanem, I think I said that right. Thank you for sending this release in.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much, brother. Shit kicks fucking ass, dude.
If you have some music you'd like us to review here on the podcast, please send it to us at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. Please make sure it's as cool as Mutilation Case, and we would love to talk about it on the pod. Even if it's not, we'll still talk about it on the pod.
I'll shit all over. Don't worry, buddy.
No
bullshit.
Finally, our final review of the podcast. Man, we've talked about death metal, thrash metal, power metal. Now we've come to black metal. Atmospheric.
A full smorgasbord of variety.
Atmospheric black metal at that. Ooh. From a podcast darling. Panopticon is back with their latest full-length release, The Rime of Memory. And goddamn, do I mean full. Six tracks.
Very much so.
Hour and 15 minutes. This is an absolute behemoth of a record. Does it live up to the quality of their previous releases? How could it not? Austin Lund wrote it. And goddamn, he's playing everything. Every fucking instrument you could fucking think of. Everything No Demand. We talked about Phobocasa being dense. It's got nothing on fucking Panopticon. Let's dive in.
Different right style, here. Indeed.
So, I mentioned how this album is six tracks, like well over an hour. It's really only five tracks because the intro, I think, is just like a minute or two. Jesus Christ. Let's just get the elephant in the room, address the elephant in the room.
The calm before the storm, so to speak.
We gave Wayfarer a lot of credit for kind of cutting some of the self-indulgence, so to speak.
Very much so.
On their release, American Gothic. Panopticon did not do that here. Winter's Ghost is 20 minutes long. And like, it annoys me slightly if I walk to the grocery store and I can go to the grocery store, get some milk and eggs and walk back. And the song is not fucking done. It does not lend itself to like a listen. Like, it demands that you listen to it and do nothing else. Like,
well, essentially, the first Winter's Ghost, the first proper song, it's acoustic strumming and some basic vocal melody for the first 8 minutes.
Yeah,
and
they could have
done that in 2 minutes and been more effective, or even three max, and go straight to the song. It wouldn't lend it to a better, more effective song. Because once the song kicks in, it's a very awesome song. I enjoy it fucking a lot. You just gotta skip through the first 6 minutes, 7 minutes to get that point.
Yes, and I think what you just said right there about shaving some time off would make not only that track, but I think this whole record hit harder. Don't get me wrong. What is here is a majestic listening experience. I am glad that this record did make me lay down with my headphones on. I closed my eyes, and for an hour and 15 minutes and 26 seconds, I did nothing but focus on the soundscapes that Austin Lund is bringing to us here. And they're majestic. They're magisterial, evoking the northern Minnesota woods in wintertime, just as he wants to do. Songs like Cedar Skeletons, Jesus Christ. Like,
straight fire, dude. Best of the whole record. Sorry. No offense to the rest of the songs. There's no truly bad song. This song is the, if you want to pick one song, what's the, you know, the banger of this record, Cedar Skeletons? No question, no contenders. This is the goddamn song.
And it's 16 minutes long.
And but it justifies its existence, though.
It does.
Every minute is needed to get to the fucking point.
And that doesn't mean that it's all balls to the wall. There's definitely some valleys. It flows. It goes from black metal to like slow, melodic violin or fiddle section. But what Panopticon does so well, and it's hugely prevalent here on this record, is the crescendo, the climax of these songs after you've been listening for 12 or 13 minutes. Like those final 2 or 3 minutes when you finally reach the mountaintop, it's orgasmic. It's auditory bliss. It's atmospheric black metal at its finest, really. It's like the peak of the art form when it works that well. Unfortunately for me, you also have tracks like An Autumn Storm, which they're still good, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't quite hit as hard.
No, it doesn't.
It's still just under 10 minutes too. So, I mean, you're sitting here listening this whole time waiting because you know the peak or the crescendo can come at any time in Panopticon. But it really doesn't, again, in my opinion, until The Blue Against the White, the final track.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Sea of Skeletons is the peak, and definitely Autumn Storm is the valley. They're very good. Shit, I like the song a lot, Autumn Storm. And Enduring Snowdrop, slightly lesser. And then kind of Blue Against the White brings it back up, though. I would just have the best ending. I feel the last track off All Hope Ends, the previous release, I feel it was a better closing song to the record. Though this is very good as well. But, to me personally.
Sorry, I think in general, I think we can probably both agree that Once More Into the Light, and again Into the Light, sorry, their release before this was probably the superior record between these two.
I think
I was speaking with you off air. This would have been a killer EP with just Cedar Skeletons and Blue Against the White.
I personally do Winter Ghost, even shaved a little bit off, but definitely get where it's coming from. I remember at the time when we reviewed All Hope Ends, I criticized criticized the cacophonous production. I do like the better mixing and mastering, but the songs aren't quite as good. So I'll take better songs than cacophonous mixing and mastering. Rather pick between the two, most definitely. But I will say they improved in that one aspect, in my opinion at least.
Huge credit again to Austin Lund for being a multi-instrumentalist badass. Doing vocals, writing the lyrics, playing guitars, bass, drums, keyboards, flute, accordion, pedal steel, and
lap steel. Dan Swanö style, dude. Everything. Yeah,
and lap steel guitar. The man is a virtuoso, and he's damn good at what he does. And that's why it's apparent that even when you put out a record that, it's not a disappointment, but it's a disappointment to me in the sense that I have such sky-high expectations for every single Panopticon record, that a record like this is a disappointment. It just shows the levels that this band has achieved and continues to stay at. Let's be real. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and give my score right now. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. Bands would kill to have this be the, it was not as good as their other ones.
It was all right. I can't remember because I don't listen to my own shit because I'm not that much of a narcissist. But this record I did like a lot. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I did like a lot. To me, I kind of look in the same way I look at a band like Immolation. They're a band I love. And even their kind of off records are still really good at that comparison to the masses of the other bands in the genre. So still very awesome. I mean, honestly, for Cedar Skeletons and Winter's Ghosts and Water, and even On Storm as like an add-on, it'd be worth it. Like, just those songs would be a fantastic EP. But you're not going to hit the mark every time, but you're still growth, and that's what counts. You learn from your mistakes, you improve on your next release. So,
and like I said, I gave it a 4, so that means The Rhyme of Memory from Panopticon gets a 7.5 from us here on the podcast. The Hungarian Listener Band got the highest score. Who the fuck saw that coming on an episode with Panopticon? Holy shit.
And Phobocosm, even a known pizza thrash band like Gamma Bombs. Fuck all these known bands that you're the real, gem in the turd, so to speak. You fucking rule. Let's ascend you to the same level.
With that being said, thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Fundamentalist Podcast. Once again, if you or anybody you know has some music that they'd like us to review, to talk about, send it to us at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. If you agree with any of our reviews, want to let us know what you think, or maybe you totally disagree with what we said, please let us know on Facebook, Instagram, or at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. If you think Richard looks like a sidekick from a 1990s superhero sitcom called The Tick, let us know at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. I'm your host, Dual Guess.
I'm Richard Donahue.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast. We look forward to speaking with you next time, where we return with the blackest of the black, the best black metal from the year.
Dark of the Dark, album of the fucking year, 2023 edition. It's going to be a fucking banger, mark your calendars.
We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.